Well, hey, you all. Welcome to the Sandy Savage Show. I'm your host, Sandy Savage. This podcast is a weekly podcast dedicated to the dreamers, the doers, the creatives, love, inspiration, and joy. We will be hearing the stories, motivations, daily lives, and dreams of men and women who are out there going for it. Now, I'm a business owner, a nonprofit founder, a ninth-generation Kentuckian, and married to the most awesome man, Tim Savage. I love to write, create, work with all the yarn, teach, and learn. So I want us to have an open dialogue about faith, life, challenging times and how we work through that, and how to maintain joy through it all. So, thanks for listening. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. It is so great to have you all on here with us today. I'm super excited. I've got Chris Cathay on the show today, and she has her hands in a lot of different things, and I'm going to let her go through and tell you all everything about it. She is a super inspiration to just so many people that get to hear her voice or be around her and be involved in the things that she's doing. So I wanted you guys to be a part of that too. Chris, will you just tell us about yourself? Like, where are you located and what is it that you do?
Sure. Thank you so much, Sandra. And I want to thank you so much for having me today. I'm really looking forward. I really was excited about this. So thank you. I am originally from California, a native of California. However, I actually moved to Maryland maybe about 9 years ago. So I've been here with my family, been married now almost 24 years.
What?
Yes.
That's I know. Awesome.
Yes. College sweethearts. Have a college graduate, my oldest son. He is 22. And then I also have a 13-year-old son. So we have two sons. Wow. So we live here. And what I do basically, Sandra, is I'm a writing consultant. I've been a writer since I was a kid. Went to college, majored in journalism. And I've always written. But it's been for friends and close relatives and things of that nature. But now what I've done in the past 6 years is I've extended myself to the outside community to help them become authors of their own. A lot of women I've targeted that have had issues, things that have happened in their lives, like all of us, mm-hmm. and basically pain, things that they couldn't get over, and they've used the power of words to get through that pain, to find purpose, to find joy again, things of that nature. So that has been my mission. My life has changed quite a lot because at first I was quite driven and an entrepreneur. I've always been, had the entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. But there was a calling that I felt was necessary to help other women to use their voice and to feel that they can be restored again from whatever has occurred in their lives.
Now, was this something that you really dreamt of as a kid, like you wanted to be a writer, or where did it come from?
Well, yeah, as a kid, I've been writing since I was probably about 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom, I can remember vividly being really small, maybe about 5 or 6 years old, and her introducing me to these huge words. And from that point, I just, you know, adopted this great love of writing. So I've been doing it since I was a small girl. But then going into college and things of that nature, I went into journalism. And then I've always written on my own, but never to the point of, you know, making it a full-time career. I was, mm-hmm. you know, doing other things, running businesses, being an educator, things of that nature. So, you know, I always kind of pushed it back. So in a way, I was pushing my purpose back, something that was with me since being so small. And always, you know, it was that small thing behind in the back of my mind, like, well, what if you never do what you really love to do? It always was something that caught like behind, like, what if you never write? What if you never do the things you're doing? The people never know what you're doing. And maybe like I said, like 6 or 7 years ago, I got this epiphany, like, okay, well, it's time for me to start using the gift that was given to me and to share it with others as well. So that has been my calling. So yes, it's come since I was a small girl.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
How did you get started? Like, how did you make the transition into going like, this is going to be my full-time deal? You know, how did you get started doing that?
Gradually, to be honest with you, I'm going to just be honest. At first it was a lot of procrastination. Like, oh no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, no, maybe I shouldn't do that. And, you know, writers don't make a lot of money and this and that, it might not work. So all of these different doubts constantly would come into my mind. But I don't know. I just constantly, I started writing about it, myself journaling it. And I started to change my mindset. Mm-hmm. I adopted a more positive mindset, saying, okay, it is going to work. This is something you're going to do. You're going to plan it just as if it's a business so that you could see it growing. So I took steps initially. It wasn't something I just like threw myself into. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to target. So I planned for it. So I think that's what really, really helped, is the fact that I planned for it gradually. And it's something that I love to do. I mean, I really love to see people become authors. I really love to see that they have fulfilled something, you know, that has been on their heart for so long. I meet women all the time and say, well, you know, I had this book for 20 years. It's been in my mind and I haven't let it out. And I've been going through this and I haven't let it out. And so when that complete work is done, it's really fulfilling. Not just so much for the author, but for myself as well, because being there to just be like the light maker, the light holder, to help them get to the path of where they need to be in order to acquire themselves as, you know, becoming a writer is really, really special.
Gosh, I just love what you're doing. Like, I love it. You're so empowering and motivating to people. I love it. I love it. I love it. So as people are starting out on their journey, you know, as writing, and what do you wish that you had known, like starting out on this journey?
I wish that I would have known, to be true to my own self and to listen to my own voice. A lot of times you might get caught up in, oh, well, maybe I should sound like that person, or I should sound like that person.
Right.
So that's the thing. Just being true to oneself is what I wish that I would have had in the beginning. And that's what I would offer as far as advice. Don't sway from it. Don't get caught up in what, you know, Bobby Joe is doing. Don't do that. You want to make sure that you stay true to yourself. That's the most important thing, because you want your voice to be expressed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you found in your own writing, like, I know writing can be so cathartic, like it's, you can find so much healing.
Right.
Writing things down, like in your own life, you know, if you feel comfortable, share, like, where was a time that writing really helped you overcome?
Yeah, sure. There's been many times. You know, I think it was one situation that I had when I had a failing business, and it was something that I really worked on for years. It was my baby. I gave everything to it, and mm-hmm. and it failed. Mm-hmm. And I blamed myself. I felt like I was a failure. I probably had grown up, I realize now, with this perfect complex that everything is supposed to go this way. These certain things are not supposed to happen if you do things correctly. However, you can't control life. You can't control the things that come to you. And oftentimes, those things come to you as gifts so that you can be birthed into the next point of your life. So in going through that very, very dark space in my life, because I became not Chris. I was so depressed. I felt like a failure. It was terrible. Family, friends, no one could reach out to me. So in writing, that is what healed me. Mm-hmm. I was able to convey those words on paper, the things that I was feeling that I couldn't convey to, you know, my closest loved ones, because they couldn't understand. They wanted me just to be back to who I was, to be Chris again. Mm-hmm. But to be able to express those things on paper and to give my heart and everything there, it healed me. It was a healing process gradually. And a lot of people don't believe in journaling. They don't believe in writing, but it is a healing mechanism that a lot of people should use when they're really, really hurting. It definitely helped me. And it has gotten me to the place where I am today. And I still continue to journal as well, because it gives you like a perspective of like, too, because I'm the type of person, I have so many things in my mind, but writing those things down, it kind of helps you to kind of decipher a blueprint of where you need to go next. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so writing has definitely been a healer for me.
I know it has been for me too. I mean, when I look back at just some of the things that I can't make sense of,
right,
get it down on paper, because I'm a paper person. Like, I still want to actually, you know, write on a paper.
Right, me too.
If I'm journaling out. It's so healing.
It is.
You know, it's so healing to you. So, like, when you are talking to somebody and they're wanting to start as an author, or just even, like, the beginning steps, what do you do? Like, how are you guiding them through that process?
Well,
what does it look like?
Well, normally I meet with, you know, the prospective client. We discuss what their genre is, what they, you know, what they actually want to do, where they perceive their book to be, what they want it to look like, the cover. Sometimes I'll ask them, what does your cover look like? You know, that kind of thing. Because the thing is, sometimes that cover, once you see that cover, it's like, oh, this is the real deal. My book is here, my name is there. So I'm just kind of trying to get them to visualize that. And then from that point on, once they've had an idea of where they want to go, then we start the process. And I also offer ghostwriting as well with the actual client. So if they do want the ghostwriting, then we would go chapter by chapter along with consulting so that we can edit it and make sure that everything is correct, everything's flowing correctly. We also do a storyboard just to make sure that everything's outlined correctly so mm-hmm. that the full completion of the book comes to pass. And then we look for, like, a, you know, a duration of time. You know, when do you foresee seeing your book published? When do you mm-hmm. foresee, you know, yourself giving, because a lot of people like to give themselves book launches and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. When do you see that? So kind of like prospecting is part of the initial part of it, and then from there we get to work. Mm-hmm. The hard work, just to make sure that everything's okay and is outlined and it's a good read for the reader.
Do you recommend, I mean, and this is something I love to people that are in this world, I love to know, you know, do you recommend someone self-publishing or going the traditional route?
I'm often asked that. Honestly, I really do love the self-publishing component. I do, because it does give you that the freedom over your work, things of that nature. I do recommend that. I mean, to get your feet wet, I most definitely do love self-publishing. Mm-hmm. However, if you do get the opportunity with a big publishing house, by all means, I would make sure to, you know, take advantage of it. But again, you want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, that you do have, you know, a great litigation, your contracts, things of that nature are, you know, reviewed the way that they should be. So yeah, but to be honest with you, self-publishing, there's freedom in that because you yourself control your book. So yeah.
Yeah, I can see how that can be beneficial. Like I've heard just both sides of it. And it sounds really like it's up to that person. Like, how much creative control do you want over it? How much do you, because going the traditional publishing route, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's a much longer process.
It's a longer process and it's a lot more limited mm-hmm. for you as the writer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
publishing. Are there any good books or podcasts that you're listening to right now that you would recommend to people?
Yeah, sure. Right now I'm reading this really good book. A friend of mine gave me, it's Contagious by Jonah Berger. And basically it's just about like why people share certain things. It's about like social media, like word of mouth. So it's really good for entrepreneurs and things of that nature, just to give you an idea of like marketing and the way of thought and things of that nature. So I think that that's a really good book. That's what I'm reading now. And as far as podcasts, I love Gary Vee. He has a very different way.
Like it is.
Yes, he does. He got a different way of expressing it, but I love Gary Vee. I love Amy Porterfield as well. And then Rise by Rachel Hollis is another one that I listen to. But yeah, I'm kind of a podcast junkie, so sometimes I just jump through iTunes back and forth when I'm working and things like that just to listen. So I love podcasts. Yeah,
me too. I could just like if I'm driving or if right. I'm working, like it's in the background. I listen to podcasts all the time.
Right, and you learn so much. Are you the same way? It's like something new that I learn every time I'm listening. It's like,
And I love to learn. Do you know what I mean? Like I have a real kind of insatiable thirst for learning. There's so much amazingness out there on podcasts right now, I think. You know, there's so many great people that are out there working on it. So I listen and listen and listen and listen.
Same here. And they keep me too. If it's just me working, they keep me company. So it's like, oh, okay.
It is, I think it's self-care to me. Like, I think it's a part of my self-care routine. If I could take a long hot bath and listen to a podcast, I'm good.
That's awesome. Right.
Do you have anything, self-care stuff that you do for you? Because I know as an entrepreneur, as someone who does have their hands in a whole lot, and I really recommend you all go over to Chris's website and see everything she's got going on. I'll have all the links to all the podcasts and to all of her info that you can get within the notes. But Chris, what it for you, like, do you have any self-care things that you do? Like, is there like a routine you do every day, or are there just things that you'll do every week that you go, I really need this for myself?
Yeah, you know, once a month, I try to at least go to the spa, like for a massage. That's like my happy thing that I give to myself, my happy gift. But daily, I try to, you know, like you said, with the baths and candles and things like that, I try to have my own little retreat on my own, listen to my podcast, listen to music, that kind of thing, just make time for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I just started in my community. I'm just so bad because I'm always working that I didn't realize that we have a beautiful trail that has so, I mean, it's just really pretty nature and things of that thing. So I've been running and, you know, walking. So that has helped me as well. It's given me a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And things. And so that's part of my self-care routine. And then just trying to just, you know, drink water and just try to do things, small things that you, yes. Sometimes you forget, like, okay, you get so busy, you know, as an entrepreneur, you get busy and you kind of like, okay, I forgot to do that. So you have to make sure that you make time for self-care.
I tell you, I'm so bad about water. I am so bad. I have an alarm set on my phone for every hour of 12 hours that the alarm goes off and I know to like drink 8 ounces of water.
But sometimes you need that. I had to buy, I don't know if you've ever seen it on Amazon, but they have a water bottle that gives you certain times. Like, okay, you should drink this certain amount at this time. So that helps me as well. So I'm the same way with water. It is bad.
My doctor was like, you were so dehydrated. And I was like, I forget to drink water. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. Like, why is my skin so dry? Oh, you need to drink some water, maybe. Right.
All right. I'm totally going to find that water bottle on Amazon. And I'm going to put a link.
Right, exactly.
So everybody can do that. Oh, my gosh. Right. We all take care of ourselves. The whole world needs to take care of themselves a little bit better. So what do you like, in looking at it, because you do deal with a whole lot of different people, and what do you think that right now that people need? What do you think people need in the world right now?
I think love and understanding, mm-hmm. and just patience. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely needed right now.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't love each other like we should. We don't, you know, we're not kind to each other. I even see sometimes young people, you know, they're not respectful to elders. I was taught to be respectful to my elders, open up the door for my elders. Things of that nature, but you don't see that. I just think we need to get back to that old place sometimes, that when we just really cared about each other and loved each other and we're genuinely, you know, concerned about the other person, we want to see them grow, and we have patience to do whatever we can in order to help them to get there if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so true. I just think if we were more understanding and mm-hmm. kind and patient with each other and kind to each other.
Right.
You know, I think that there's this, I think we have such a short fuse, and I don't know if it's from such instant gratification things that we have around us now.
Yeah.
That yeah. our behavior has all of our, it's just shortened. Do you know, it's like, I have a shorter temper. I have a shorter patience span. I have it, you know, and I think we really need to slow down a little bit and
right.
be present with each other and be kind to each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. And it does have to do with, you know, this technology boom that we have. Everything's so fast, and this, you know, nobody slows down. We don't even communicate with each other to have conversation anymore. We just are constantly on our phones and things of that nature. So yeah, you're definitely right. I believe wholeheartedly that those things are needed back in the world to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a cliche. It sounds like one, but it's needed. It's definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. I really believe it's true. And, you know, setting good boundaries with even that kind of, you know, your social media and everything, I think is helpful, you know.
Yeah, you have to do that. You can't become consumed with it. It's easy to happen, but you can't become consumed by it because you'll start playing a comparison game, or you know, or you'll forget about the things that you're supposed to do that are important, and you get caught up. So you do have to have barriers when it comes to social media and get that human interaction, just to talk to somebody live every day.
Yes.
Important. Yeah, it's important. So go outside, you know, meet your neighbors. A lot of us don't even know who our neighbors are, but, you know, meet your neighbors, talk to your neighbors, you know. We just, you know, it's not good just for us to be so stagnant.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I always feel like I sound like my grandmother. You know, it's like, turn off that internet and go outside and play.
Right. That's what my grandmother said.
But it's true.
Right. Isn't it,
you know,
that they said when we were kids, we were like, whatever. But now when you become an adult, it's like, oh, that makes a whole lot of sense. So.
They were all right.
Right.
Exactly. All right.
Right.
Well, Chris, what is the question that you wish someone would ask you? And what's your answer? You know, there's in the back of my mind, there's always like, oh man, I wish somebody would ask me that.
A question I wish someone would ask me. Well, maybe. Why do you believe that people can achieve their goals? That's one question I'd like for them to ask me. I would say I believe that they can achieve their goals because we are all given that ability. We just all have to put our minds to it. It's all about mindset. But we all have it within us. It all lives within us. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that would be the question I want someone to ask me, because a lot of people don't believe that they can achieve certain things. They don't foresee themselves acquiring the goals that they have or the dreams that they have. So yeah, that would be the question that I would want them to ask me.
Sure, I love that. Yeah, you know, and I think it really ties into, like, even back to what the world needs, like kindness. Like, if people could believe in themselves, that they do have the ability, that it is in them, and that if other people, like, if we came around each other and supported each other in the ways that we're really meant to,
right?
Like, we interacted with each other. We built each other up.
Right.
Instead of, you know, constant tearing down and comparison and all that kind of craziness.
Exactly. And I think that's how we're designed. Well, I know that's how we're designed. I think we're meant to interact with each other. I think we feed off of each other. Our, you know, energy can be good or bad, but mostly, you know, if we're around each other and, you know, we build each other up that way. That's why I think it's necessary. That's why a lot of people who don't get that human interaction, they can go into depression and things of that nature, because they're not getting that human effect. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's important.
Absolutely. Gosh. So last question, and I ask this to everybody. What is bringing you joy right now?
What's bringing me joy right now? You mean at this very moment, or just period in my life?
Period in your life. Like right now. Just a second. like in your life right now, like in this season of life that you're in.
In the season of life that I'm in, being able to help others is what's bringing me joy. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, being able to help others go to the next plateau or reach a certain dream that they want. That is what is bringing me joy right now.
That is so good.
Yes, truth. Truth.
Well, Chris, where can everybody find you? Like, are you on Instagram more or Facebook or?
I am on Instagram. You can reach me at Creatively Chris, and it's both with a K. Creatively mm-hmm. with the K, Chris with the K. So all one word. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to reach me on my website, it's the same. It's www.creativelychris.com.
Perfect. And we'll have all that linked in there. And so everybody can find it super easy. Gosh, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I just love your spirit. Man, you all go out there and seek her out and find her. She is just a wellspring of joy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You as well.
Gosh, thanks for talking today. I absolutely loved it.
Well, thank you. Have a really great day, okay?
You too.
Well, thank you all for listening. Oh my gosh, so we will have every link and resource over there on the website, so you can head to the show notes and get all the information that you need that we talked about today. And I want to give a special thank you to all of our subscribers. Hey, if you're not a subscriber yet, go on and subscribe so you know when a new show comes out. And gosh, if you can, just go rate and review it. Give a little thumbs up. That is super, super helpful to us. You all are such a great community, and I love getting to share life with y'all. From the whole Savage crew, have a great week, and I'll see you next time.